Thermal Sound Waves. It is Thermal Sound Waves, a natural alternative to fast food radio. We hear C Truth, Kevin Lawrence. Right about now, joining us on the program, we have a pioneer in the world of music, in the world of hip hop, in the world of Latin music.
He can include some jazz in there too,
because jazz and many, many things, man. This dude was one of the trailblazers in the early 90s when he came out with a smash hit. About liars.
Just liars.
Liars.
I don't think he is. He is the trailblazer. Yeah,
indeed. No question, man. Listen.
But they don't know it meant liars because they didn't know the other language of it.
The smash hit was called Mentirosa. You know what I mean?
Mentirosa.
And the brother that did that was none other than Mr. Mellow Man Ace, you know what I'm saying? Doing the damn thing.
Yes.
Trailblazing for a lot of people that came after him.
Might not even know
that he came before them and opened the door for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm humbled. Thank you, sir. That's a great intro right there.
Yes, indeed. No problem.
Thank you.
How you doing, sir?
You know, life is a blessing, bro. Up and down, you know. It goes up, it goes down, and we try to ride those highs real high and try to stay off those lows for too long, you know. But like the OGs from Lakeside tell me, you know, it's good to be seen, young man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. Now, you're of Cuban descent.
Say that again?
You're of Cuban descent, correct?
Afro-Cuban, yes. Very proud of that.
Okay. Now, were you born there or were you born in the U.S.?
I was born in Cuba.
So, with you being...
My great-grandfather was a slave brought over in a transatlantic slave trade, to be right and exact.
Wow. So, you know that history. That's deep.
What city were you from in Cuba?
Well, you have Havana, which is the capital. And as we say, I'm about 300 or 400 kilometers from Havana. That would be a place called Pinar del Río Cuba, which is the last province on the left side of, if you're looking at Cuba as an island on your map.
Say it one more time, the name of it.
Pinar del Río. Peak of the river.
Okay, I knew El Rio was the river.
So
okay.
Wait, so that means you up the block from Jamaica?
Not too far from there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We all down there in the Caribbean.
Because there's a lot of Cubans in Jamaica. Matter of fact, Rita Marley is Cuban.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. Bob Marley's wife, Rita Marley. She's Cuban. A lot of people did not know that.
Absolutely.
And as a person of Jamaican descent, I would like to tell you and your families, thank you for building hospitals and schools in Jamaica. A lot of people do not know that Cuba was holding down Jamaica for a very long time. So, most definitely, no doubt, man.
You're welcome. I don't know what to say to that other than you're welcome. And, you know, it's Caribbean people, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people don't. I'm glad you said that because a lot of people don't realize that. Like Puerto Ricans, Cubans, they're Caribbean or they're from that family.
I mean, the only difference between all those islands in there, you know, when it comes to Afrocentricity, the only difference is the drop-off point during the transatlantic slave trade.
Right.
So if you've done the one, then you know, we can have that kind of dialogue. You'll be surprised. Many guys on the West Coast have no idea. You know what I'm saying? So they'll look at me, some guys, not all.
Yes, yes.
Look at me and go, oh, you're not all the way black. How you figure? How you figure?
You know, some people never went outside their home or they never went to a class. So they
That part.
They have no idea.
You got to educate yourself.
Now, question for you, since you were born there, did you, when you came to America, did you or any of your family, were you ever on the La Mariel?
No, see, that was after, that was in 1980, the Mariel boat lift. We came in 1971, and here I'll tell you an ill story that's very factual. And Fidel Castro and the United States government struck a deal called the Flights of Liberty in the late 60s. For those who opposed the Fidel Castro mentality and way of life and his politics, you could leave the island if you have children. But one of your children has to hit the lottery, sort of like a lottery-based thing. So when my older sister Myra was born, her number didn't hit the lotto. My brother Sendog of Cypress Hill was born, and his number didn't hit the lotto. I was born third, my number hit the lotto, and I was able to get my family off the island onto those Flights of Liberty.
Wow, now that's a lot right there. And you kind of jumped the gun. I was about to ask you, your brother, you know, Yeah, this is Thermal Sound Waves Radio. We're here with, we have in class right now with Mellow Man Ace. That's big. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that. I believe Fidel Castro had a parade. He was in the parade in New York City. I think he used to stay in Harlem a lot.
Oh, yeah, he was here quite a bit. And, you know, the government here entertained him a lot. And that's a fact. You know,
now
that's a fact. That's in all history books, and you can see the documentaries, and you can see why. Also, you know, certain members of the organized crime families would try to take him out and things of that nature.
Why do you feel that was?
He didn't like, you know, what they had done to Cuba in terms of building casinos and having parties up there, and
like Vegas.
They were trying to turn it into Vegas, which was live for, if you listen to my parents speak, it was a great era to be in Cuba in the 1940s and 1950s, right before the transition came and the revolution. So they were living it up until 1958 when the party stopped and the rebels took over Havana. So,
and other than just being a Vegas spot, it was, I believe they said it was also a spot where they were doing, well, they were trying to do, violations on some, to children and stuff, and run that trafficking. And I was told the Cuban government was like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, it was a very lenient government. The Batista government, you know, was very lenient. You might want to say they had a little shadiness to them because they did help, you know, organize crime and, you know, to establish themselves and kind of turn the other cheek at what they were doing in turn for a taste of the pie, you know. And so it's no secret. This is well documented. You can watch this on YouTube now if you wanted to. I'm not making things up or saying things that we cannot look into.
Wow. Now we got to ask, we hear two different sides sometimes. Mainly we hear one side. We hear the side of people saying but we don't like him. And then there's a group of people say, you know what? He might have been the best at that time, but overall, as time went on, we realized that it was the better for our country, since Cuba is like one of the leaders in medical and just being healthy compared to everywhere else around the world. Do you mind of saying how do you feel about how it panned out?
It's Thermal Sound Waves, a natural alternative to fast food radio. We here see Truth Kev Lawrence. Yes, indeed. We got Mellow Man Ace here with us on the program. And
Peace.
He was about to share his thoughts on Cuba.
Well, yeah. And may I say thank you for the platform today. It's beautiful to reach out to other parts of the country, and I want to say thank you for that. On this topic, you know, it was in theory, on paper, the takeover and the revolution looked good for the people because Fidel Castro was one of them, or one of us, and he promised us a lot of things. However, much like anybody who comes from nothing and gets everything, the greed kicked in. So where he would take over people's, you know, land and all that and force them to work in sugarcane fields or join the military or whatever it is that he planned for your family, right? So it got ugly through time, and there was a lot of disagreements and a lot of people who, there were those who backed it and said, hey, this is what's good for the country. And there were those that were like, I don't know, this is starting to taste a little funny, like a little rabbit stew maybe. And so for those, like my parents, they opted out and they were like, okay, this is our chance to go now if we take these flights of liberty, you feel me? And so for us, it was the right move. My father at the time was an English, math, and physical ed teacher. He was stripped of his teaching credentials and put to work in the sewers and the sugarcane fields there. Now, well, they did that in order to try to break his will to come to the United States. They would say, why would you want to go to the United States when these are the only types of jobs that you're going to get while you're there? However, my father had a friend who had left in 1969, and he was already getting a job at Delta Airlines. And he would write my dad and say, don't believe anything that they're telling you. I have a great job here waiting for you at Delta Airlines. When we touched down in 1971, my father took his position at Delta Airlines and stayed there for 33 years.
Oh, you got the buddy pass. The buddy pass.
Facts. Wow. So you see, I mean, for those, look, let me say something very important. My entire immediate family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, were allowed to come with me, not just my immediate family. However, the rest of the family didn't want to learn a new language. They didn't want to get acclimated to a whole new surrounding, having to learn a foreign language and start over. If you ask them now, and I do, they are kicking themselves in the rear to this day. They see how we live in because now they have Instagram, Facebook, and all these other things, LinkedIn. I'm sorry, not LinkedIn, but WhatsApp. And they able to see me and my brother and the things we've been able to accomplish in the music, because all of them in Cuba are all musicians as well.
Yes, and I got to give a big shout out to the Bronx Museum, because we had a link where we would actually get a lot of Cuban artists, musicians, and canvas artists from Cuba. We would fly them over to America and showcase their artwork in the museum. Shout out to the La Cimarron group. It's a big old school group. Like, they're like real mambo musicians. Because yeah, there was a big Cuban population in the Bronx of New York. Because many of them used to play at the Cotton Club and the other club, because sometimes they couldn't go all the way down to the Cotton Club because of their complexion, unless you were like Ricky Ricardo. But you had to go up north, uptown, by the Paradise, Lowe's Paradise. They would play up there. So a lot of them was from the Grand Concourse. So a lot of people thought it was Puerto Rican. So that's why when people say, you know, back in the days, hip-hop was with just the Puerto Ricans and the Blacks, which is kind of the same. Like, yo, no, some of them may have been Cubans. You just didn't realize.
Oh, absolutely. Like my man, DJ Disco Wiz. Disco Wiz, a Cuban descent, who happened to be the first DJ before Charlie Chase for the Cold Crush Brothers. Cubano.
There it is. All in the history. All in the history.
Shout out to the Grand Concourse Education in the Bronx. Folks.
Education. So let's take it to the music. And listen, we're going to have you back, because with someone with your knowledge, like, we got to do a part two to this, just to let you know.
Okay. I'm surprised he's not a professor. You need to be a professor also, man. No question. We didn't even get to the music yet. We just talking about just history.
So you said a lot of your people are musicians. So did you first get introduced to music while you were in Cuba or when you came here?
In Cuba. And here's how. My grandfather, Ulpiano, who I'm named after, was the Cuban military orchestra leader. He played the stand-up bass as well. Mm. Now, all of my uncles, minus my father, who's not a musician, all of my uncles are musicians. The only last survivor one, who was also named Ulpiano after his father, is still playing in Havana, in a city called Marianao. There in Havana, he continues to play the trombone at 86 years old.
So do you play instruments yourself?
I play percussion, sir. These are things that I took the time to learn during COVID. I wasn't born with it.
Gotcha.
I was born with the microphone.
Gotcha.
This is what I know. But during COVID, we had so much downtime that I remembered I had a friend who played percussion. She was a female. One day I saw her on Facebook doing a lesson, and I jammed her up to teach me. And next thing you know, I'm off now 2 years playing live on stage, playing percussion on stage, as well as emceeing, rapping, entertaining.
Beautiful. So let's get to that. Let's get to it.
Let's get to the music now.
It's Mellow Man Ace here with us on the program. It's the Mente Rosa. You know what I mean? So when you came to the U.S. or while in the U.S., how did you get introduced to, or maybe you were introduced to it before, to hip-hop and getting into emceeing and rhyming and things
like that? In the West Coast.
Yes. Great question. In 1979, I heard it while in junior high. I heard Rapper's Delight for the first time. And I heard these... I want to say it was The Breaks or Christmas Rapping.
What junior high school did you go to? Where was that?
I went to Southgate Junior High School in the city of Southgate, California. That is about, I don't know, 2 minutes from a city called Watts.
Watts up. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't as gully as Watts, but it was. You still had to protect your neck. You feel me?
Absolutely.
There is where I started to hear the music. And then in 1981, after listening to The Mean Machine, especially a rapper by the name of Mr. Schick, Puerto Rican brother, who said his first Spanish rap that I ever heard on a record, on a song called Disco Dream. And that's what showed me my future. Because it was a small little part, like a 12, 16 bar verse that he kicked toward the end of the record. And that's when I said, man, I want to be like that guy.
Right.
So what I would do later on, after that record came out in 1981, I believe, on Sugar Hill Records. And then me knowing Mr. Schick now as an adult, I sought this man out for 30 some odd years. Very interesting how we came to meet each other. But when I heard that, that showed me my future. And what I mean by that is I wanted to become the first MC to write the very first all-Spanish rap song. In 1987, when I got signed to Delicious Vinyl, I had the opportunity to do that. And we did that. And then we were able to parlay a major record deal at Capitol Records, where then I added on further by creating the funky bilingual style, the Latin lingo, if you will.
Gotcha.
With the Mentirosa stuff.
Yes, indeed.
Now, so you mentioned earlier, because you was trying to keep on the raps, but I know people like, they can't believe what they just heard. For some people, Sendog from Cypress Hill.
Yeah.
That's your brother.
That's my blood brother, people. Yeah. I mean, we started, Mr. we were the old, okay, look.
You, Mr. Bucket Hat guy.
Here's the way that goes. I mean, me and my brother are the only original members of the street called Cypress Avenue. We were high, so high one day, we just put Hill behind it because we felt that we were on top of a mountain in terms of the competition that was around us. It was a mental thing. Yeah. However, we met a guy by the name of DJ Muggs from Queens, New York, mm-hmm. who then told us there was a city, a project house
yes.
in Brooklyn called Cypress Hills Projects.
Shout out right. to Sean B, who went to my high school in Brooklyn. Yes. And yes, there is in East New York, Cypress Brooklyn. Hill, definitely a project housing out there for sure.
And he always talks about them.
From 783, my man Sean B.
He always big That's right. up. He says people don't have no idea the connection with Cypress Hill in California with New York before anything. They've
Correct.
Connected.
Correct. And then, see, it's very important to say this part because there was an MC by the name of Ramel Z. Ramel Z was the MC for the Rocksteady crew when they would go and bus. Well, Ramel would say, when I shot across town to Cypress Hill, and then he'd say, this is the mellow they call the Ramel. He kind of birthed us. Like, he was this man was the god. He was a god MC for me because he was just saying things before you ever heard him first. Like, he
I
said,
heard that sample before.
Like, yeah, no,
I
it's very.
I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, of course. When you turn on the first Cypress Hill album, Cypress Hill, all those scratches Muggs is doing in there.
Right.
That's all Ramel. On my first album, Party People, just shock to the rhythm, Party People. That, and then This Is the Mellow. This Is the Mellow. That's all Ramel Z, right? So it was like he was walking around giving birth, but I don't think he really knew. Got this is the first time I ever heard a man say, Def Jam, y'all, right? Next thing you know, here comes a record company later called Def Jam. That's the power in that, man. There's power in that.
Yeah. How was it that you weren't more involved with Cypress Hill, the group itself, and your brother was more involved with the group?
This is a great question. Okay, my brother and I are the only original members that lived on the block. He and I took it upon ourselves to start recruiting guys. Be Real happened to be in my breakdance crew at the time. And so when I broke away from them, because by now we had seen Wild Style and we had seen Beat Street, right? So we're like, some of us were thinking like, yo, if we do this right, we could be like those dudes. But my B-Boy crew was more content with, you know, hitting skins at the end of the battle, walking home with a shorty. But we had a bigger vision than that. So I recruited Be Real out of my B-Boy crew and brought him on the block. I introduced him to Sendog. Then we brought in our other homeboy. We went to junior high with Tomahawk Funk of a group called Funk Dubious later. Then we meet DJ Julio G, who we used to battle B-Boying against in another city. I recruit him. Now, my man Eli, rest in peace, Puerto Rican cat, he's the one that introduced us to Breddy and Sean B, who then introduced us to DJ Muggs. Now, Muggs was just like us. He was very B-Boy minded. Even though we was from L.A., we was walking to the jam with bomber jackets, with the Tigra joints, you know, with the three gold chains out, with the Lees on.
So wait,
you know, that was us.
So no Dickie outfits?
Nah, bro. I mean, all that you see now, that's not how we came up.
That's interesting that you're saying that, because people will think that's all you guys ever wore was Dickie outfits and Penelins and the.
No. This is way before gangbanging even infiltrated it like that. You see, we used to walk to the jam with Kangos on, Adidas, suede Pumas. That's how we learned. We learned the culture.
Wow.
By watching what was going on, you know, David Letterman, when Ken Swift and Crazy Legs came out, when the Funky 4+1 More came out on Saturday Night Live, we was doing the knowledge like that. Who are these people? Why does that feel so good? Who was Afrika Bambaataa? What's up with this Cool Herc guy? We started to do the knowledge. So in turn, it made us sharper B-boys. So while even though there was concerts starting to come out now through K-Day, where Heavy D and the boys would come out, Run DMC and them, in order for us to not get hit up by the gang members in a Blood or Crip neighborhood, we used to have to dress New York to escape that.
Wow.
We used to have to wear Kangos, the bomber jackets. So then they look at us and be like, okay, that's some breakdancing cats. Don't leave them alone. They're harmless. You know what I mean? They looked at us like we were harmless. Meanwhile, we did have blood affiliations. However, Inglewood. Some of the baddest nightclubs was in Crip neighborhood.
Now, Be Real was in Inglewood at this time. Am I correct?
No, not yet. He actually never lived in Inglewood. At this particular time that I met him, when he was like 14, 15 years old, he lived in a city called El Sereno, okay? As we grew older, his mother moved around, and he went with his moms, and then they ended up in like in the Torrance, California area, which is predominantly Latino, Mexican descent. But in order to get back to the hood where we were, he had to ride the bus and go through enough hoods, you know, to get there. So he'd get hit up on the bus and stuff like that. So sometimes he'd have to just kick it, spend the night at the crib, so that would minimize. You feel me?
It's Thermal Sound Waves, a natural alternative to fast food radio. We hear C Truth, Kev Lawrence, talking to Mellow Man Ace, dropping some history, y'all, on all this.
So a question for you is, because of what you were in, people look like they put Cypress Hill.
Okay.
You.
Yes. I'm sorry. I almost forgot your question that I wanted to answer. Now, here is why I had to go dolo. As we're honing our skills, battling in the parks and doing all these things, high school dances, backyard boogies, you name it. My pops wanted me and Sendog to keep a job. He's like, forget all that dancing in the street now. You're 19 and 9 and 20 now. Both of y'all go get a jobs. And I was the young gully one. I said, I ain't getting no damn job. I'm close to getting to my dream. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what he did, Pops kicked me out of the house.
Okay.
So now I'm living at the hood house. And I'm very grateful to my man Grego and his mother Kathy, rest in peace, who let me stay there. I'm very grateful to them because it was there that I just, you know, I grew up. You feel me?
Right.
I started going to Hollywood with DJ Muggs. I started meeting this one and that one. And next thing you know, I start doing a test press of that record in 1987 that I told you, the All Spanish Rap. Gotcha. I was able to now go back home and say, look, Pops, I'm doing it. He let me back in the crib. But by then, Sen, Muggs, and B was already like doing dancing for me and had created their own little sector of what it was.
So, so since people would normally align Cypress Hill with as a Latin group, did you ever have situations where people may look at you and say, well, if you're not Mexican, you're not Latin, being on the West Coast like that?
Never. In fact, I'm looked upon as a god out here because I'm that dude amongst all the Mexican population. It occurred to a Cuban kid to do the very first all Spanish rap record. So for that, they hold me in a high regard. You feel me? And I've never had to once be questioned about why this or why the other. Never.
Lovely, lovely. Now listen, we're out of time, but we, like I said, we're going to have you back because there's so much more that we got to get into and that I know that you can talk about. But before we go, let everybody know about what you got going on right now and where they can get that and where they can find out more about what you got going on.
Most definitely. The project that has me really excited right now that I've been doing since last summer is in the 50th year of hip hop. I was blessed by a city councilman by the name of David Argudo here in the San Gabriel Valley, who came to me and said, Mello, we want you to create a curriculum and teach kids what you know and what you've learned in hip hop and teach them. And, you know, city council took a vote. They loved my curriculum, and we were able to set off the Mellow Man Ace Arts and Edutainment program, which had 125 graduating students in its first semester. And we've now just gotten picked up for a second semester in a different city with the Ace Foundation at the helm there. And look, we were getting record deals before. I'm getting city deals now. So it's been such an amazing ride, you know, for me to be in this position. So the Mellow Man Ace Arts and Edutainment program, that's really what has me fired up. Like, I'm not really tracking records like that right now. I'm not making records. I could if I want to. I'm not really making songs like that anymore, you know. But what does have me excited is that program. And I think, you know, moving into the future, you know, that's where it's at. And I think it's passing down the knowledge, giving it back, you know. And absolutely, I think there's a great reward in that.
Absolutely. No question. So let everybody know what your socials are and where they can, you know, support the Mellow Man Ace Foundation and the program.
Please follow me at Mellow_Man_Ace on IG. Also, the Mellow Man Ace on Facebook, and also my other page on TikTok, Mellow Man Ace. Did I forget one? I don't really tweet anymore.
Gotcha.
I'm not white famous, yo.
Nah. You're famous to us, and
yeah.
Thank you for your contributions to hip hop.
Absolutely.
Humbled. Thank you. Yeah. No, for real.
Yeah. All that. And also to the education of those who don't understand their history and how they're related to you. Cause, you know, a lot of people don't know your familia.
Absolutely. No, my pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen, for the lane. I appreciate you. And may you have much success with the platform.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We are definitely going to have you back.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Have a great one, man. We appreciate you.
All right, family.
Peace and love. Absolutely.
Peace. It's Thermal Sound Waves, a natural alternative to fast food radio. We hear C-Truth, Kev Lawrence, as you can see, always keeping you informed.
Wow.
Taking it to the next level. And that was just a touch.
Thermal Sound Wave.